Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Joshua in chapter 1, and you know the story, and I preached through some of this not too long ago. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, he says to Joshua, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. He said, it's time. It's harvest time. They've been wandering in the wilderness for too long, 40 years. Now it's time to cross over the River Jordan. Don't make the same mistake your forefathers made with a lack of faith. Remember the 12 spies? Don't do that. Don't be satisfied. Please, if you're here this morning and you're a New Testament child of God, you're someone that's been born again, do not be satisfied with living in the wilderness of this world. Being just born again and that's all. Man, don't go there. And those people, they were born again. Moses didn't even enter into the land of Canaan. And Moses is in heaven. We know that. So they were born again people who fell short of following God wholly. Now it's another generation. He said, it's time, Joshua. I'm going to raise you up as a leader. Where I magnified, where I lifted Moses in the eyes of the people, I will do the same for you. And I already preached some of Joshua, and I think it was Joshua, and maybe it was chapter 2, maybe chapter 3. I'm not looking down at my book right now, my Bible right now, where they were, how they were to cross over the River Jordan, and they were to cross over on dry land, and how God miraculously provided for them. It's time, and I want to say this. I know I said this 3 weeks ago. Someone has got to be desperate in the family of God. This status quo stuff makes me want to puke. It's a powerless Christianity. I'm not chewing you out. I'm talking about all of our ministry as well. Man, someone has got to be desperate for the power of God. Someone's got to claim Psalm 2:8, ask and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And someone has got to, it's the unthinking, casual child of God that has the Bible as not the main thing in their life. Joshua chapter 1, look at verses 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Don't think the wilderness is good enough. I'm glad you're saved. If you are, you're born again. I'm glad of that. I'm glad you've been adopted in the family of God and we're going to live forever one day in heaven. But there's the land of Canaan waiting right across the River Jordan. There's the promised land, the abundant life that Jesus promised to his followers that would follow him. All it takes is just a little bit of faith. Look at just verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. So the people of God said to Joshua, after Joshua communicating the message from God, stick to the book, stick to Holy Writ, follow the word of God. The Ark of the Covenant, when it goes over, you fall in line behind the Ark of the Covenant. Let that be out there, way out in front of you. You follow along. When it moves, you move. You stay faithful. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. And they heard that, and they said, Joshua, we'll do it. This fall could be the greatest fall in the history of Fundamental Baptist Church. It's harvest time. We're seeing people saved during the summer months. That doesn't always happen at Fundamental. It'll trickle. But man, where it's like God's kind of opening the windows of heaven. We've got a big friend day coming up. We've got in the month of October. We've got old school gathering. We've got a lot of other things coming on, going to happen as well. But it's going to take a people of God to fall in line behind the word of God and say to God, "We'll do it. We'll follow you." And of course, by faithful obedience, instead of living in the wilderness, they conquered the land of Canaan. And now, finally, getting to my message now. That was all introduction. All right. And what happens when you conquer new lands? Rahabs get saved. I'm going to explain that in a moment, in a real fast moment. What happens when you have some vision and you move ahead and it isn't status quo? You find people coming to Christ. Some of the most unlikely people get saved. People like the Canaanite woman, Rahab, who was an adulteress, who was a harlot. She was a prostitute. And she gets gloriously saved. Look at chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly. There's a lot actually in that opening line. He didn't send 12, not like we're sent before. He found out a lot of times the majority's wrong. He sent out two, and he sent them out secretly. The Israelites didn't even know they went into the land. So he sent two men over the River Jordan, the raging River Jordan, at high flood stage. He sent them over, and they spied out the land. Let me continue to read the verse. "Go view the land, even Jericho." Jericho was a fortified fortress city, a great walled city, had a king in the city, a city-state. And they went and came into an harlot's house. She was a known harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Rahab's past is a wicked past. Before I go any further, we're going to see a lot of people in heaven we did not expect to see there. Because they, in their heart, called out to God in repentance. And God forgave them and adopted him into their family. On the other hand, there's going to be a lot of people not there that we expect to see there, because they had religion. They never repented. There was no born again, not in them. Jesus never adopted them into his family. She was a harlot. Unusual people. You know, it's a miracle that Tim Rader got saved. You may not know all of Tim Rader's past, but I know Tim Rader's past. And it's a miracle. It's a grace of God that I stand in the pulpit. It's the grace of God. Last Sunday morning after church, right over here in front of the mission building, an 83-year-old man got saved standing at the trunk of Harry Reinfelder's car. Led him to the Lord. A retired New York policeman. And he said, "You know, that's a pretty good crowd, pretty good looking crowd that came out of that church." He was here to buy a gun, just so you know that. That's legal, isn't it? It's on the radio, Harry, and your name's out there as well. Yeah, he's a gun dealer, all right? So, but when I pulled over, I said, "Hey, there's a trunk open and there's a little crowd. Oh, what's going on over there?" So I went over there and there's, "Oh, it's Harry. Yeah, he's selling the gun," is what it is. And that man saw all of the people come out of church on Sunday morning carrying Bibles. Don't tell me that's not a testimony. Boy, that what an impact. And when Harry told him about Jesus, he willingly, wholeheartedly received Jesus Christ as his Savior. 83 years of age. In fact, we're working on him coming to church. You're not here this morning, are you, buddy? I don't see him, all right? So, you know, he's planning on coming. Yeah, we're pretty excited about that. God bless you people that were here. Even coming out of church with a smile on your face, you were testifying last Sunday morning. Glory to God. All right, let's go back to chapter 2 again. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.'" These men are spies of the Hebrew people, and they've come to look at our fortress city and search out the land. They're going to go back. We need those men. Where are they, Rahab? Rahab told a little lie here. She told a big lie here. It says in verse 4, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. So here's the deal. Jordan is to the east. They said, listen, the men were here, but they're gone now. They're gone. And if you take off right now, you'll probably be able to catch them before they get to the east, get to the River Jordan. You'll overtake them before they get there in the fords that were there along the River Jordan. But what the lady actually did is she hid them on her housetop. And there was flax up there that they'd soak in water and then put it on the roofs during the day so it would dry out. And she hid them underneath the harvest. She hid them there underneath the flax. And verse 6 says, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan and unto the fords. And as soon as they were pursued after them, they were gone out, they shut the gate. So the gates were closed for the night. And before they were laid down, she came upon them upon the roof. Now let me kind of back up and just kind of give you the whole picture and give it to you with some context here this morning. The Canaanites living in the land of Jericho, the city of Jericho, were a vicious, ruthless, brutal, aggressive people. They were without the God of heaven. They engaged in bestiality, incest, deviant sexual acts, and child sacrifice. The Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus, the land vomited out its inhabitants. That is a description of the Canaanites. Put on top of that, she's a harlot. She sells her body for sexual favors. This harlot gets gloriously born again. Now here's the deal. She is carrying a weight on her heart and on her shoulders. She knows she's a sinner. She knows not the God of Israel, who she knows is the living God. She has already heard what God has done for them. So have the other inhabitants of the city of Jericho. And it made them faint in their heart. And pause real quick. Real quick, not that all of us are everything we ought to be, and not that this church is everything it ought to be, but I'm telling you, Chippewa County knows about Fundamental Baptist Church. They have some preconceived ideas about this church and this ministry. And many of them, even though they have a hard exterior, are waiting for someone to tell them the truth. So here's a harlot by the name of Rahab. She's got these two men that are from Israel hiding in on her roof. And she goes up there. Now look again at verse 9. She said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Remember the generation before? They thought they looked like grasshoppers, little insects in the sight of the Canaanites. They were looking at it through their own eyes and did not see through the eyes of faith what Joshua and Caleb saw. And in the reality, the devil's army is a papier-mâché army. And it may look big and loud and boisterous and tough, but the truth is, these Canaanites were afraid of the Hebrews. They were afraid of the Israelites. They were afraid of the seed of Abraham. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. The truth is, hell quivers when the church gets revived. Look what it says in verse 10. And we have heard how that the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. This is the mighty Canaanites in the fortress city with the high ground. And their hearts melted within themselves when they heard all how God the Father, or God in heaven, God Jehovah, was blessing the Hebrews. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, here it is, He is God. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you. Now, by the way, right there at that moment, this harlot Canaanite woman is putting her trust in Jehovah God. She is testifying and proclaiming, I know in my heart that Jehovah is God, not the God of the Canaanites or gods of the Canaanites. Verse 12 says, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive. Listen to this. This is what happens when you get saved. You're concerned about your loved ones. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, and her house for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. For she dwelt upon the wall. A couple of things here very quickly. God is interested in whole families. The Canaanite harlot, she gets saved, and as a result, mom and dad get saved, and all of her brethren get saved. I'm thinking of the Philippian jailer, where we read in Acts in chapter 16, and how his whole household got saved, as well as all those that were in the prison. I'm thinking about Acts chapter 10 with the Roman soldier named Cornelius, and his whole house comes to Christ. Someone genuinely gets born again. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 11:30 that the fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Here's what happens. Somebody gets born again. They get saved all by themselves. They get born again. They come to Christ. They're the only person saved in their family. But because they genuinely get born again, they've got uncles and aunts and moms and dads, and they've got brothers and sisters and cousins, and they've got children and nephews and niece. And because they genuinely get born again, and there's a real change in their life, and they're so in love with God, it impacts others in their very household, and they get saved as well. God is interested in your children going to heaven. God is interested in your grandchildren getting saved, genuinely saved. God wants your brothers and your sisters and your wife and your husband. God wants them born again as well. And you get saved. You genuinely get saved, and it's going to impact people all around you. The message is, this is the message that they gave Rahab. That scarlet, they were lowered with a cord, a scarlet cord, a blood red cord. And that's how they were going to be delivered. And because, here's what the spy said, you hang that cord outside the window of your home, and every Hebrew is going to know, every soldier is going to know not to touch that household. That scarlet cord runs from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. Over 400 times we're told in the Word of God what salvation is, and it isn't religion. It's found in the person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. That scarlet cord, that gospel message, runs through all 66 books of Holy Writ, of the Word of God. There are a lot of versions to try to remove the blood and minimize the blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It's Jesus' blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That scarlet cord. Go back again to Joshua and chapter 2. Verse 16, she said unto them, get you to the mountains, go west, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. In other words, it's as good as done. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Get them into the house. That's where they they are going to be safe. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Man, there's more to preach here in this chapter. I don't know where to cut this short because of the radio time. Look at verse 22. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And the battle of Jericho, that's another message, all right? That's not where I'm going this morning. I'm almost through, so just hold with me here. I want you to know where Rahab ends up. She is part of the godly lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. She marries a prince of Israel. And her son is Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, who is another picture of Israel. Her great-great-grandson is King David. God can take a hot mess of a life, all messed up in the world, in her case, all messed up in fleshliness, and God can take the most unlikely sinner, pick them up and cleanse them by way of the blood of Jesus Christ and make them an eternal child of God and use that life that was a mess and use it for God's glory. How many of you can amen that right in your heart, man? You know, that's me, man. I don't have much and I've messed up a lot in my life. I'm so glad, so grateful for all that Jesus has done. Well, I was at camp this last week, and you know, you get to sometimes when you're at the front of things, you hear a lot more, you see a lot more, and a lady brought out her little girl, and she was amazed, and she's from this area, all her lifelong resident of this area, and she's standing there and she's looking around at all the buildings and all that God has done out here, and the kids having a great time and the joy, and she sees the smile on her little girl's face, and she said, "Where did this come from?" See, I've been here all my life. I didn't even know this was out here. Look what great things God has done. You serve God, you'll get to the end of your life or the twilight years of your life, and you're going to look back and say, man, look what God has done. I'm telling you, God is carving out of a spiritual wilderness. He is carving out an outpost, a lighthouse, a headquarters for evangelism, a New Testament local church to make a difference and the Eastern Upper Peninsula. Our God is a great God. Amen. We serve a God who loves sinners. He loves to display his glory by manifesting his grace in the least likely people. It was Paul that declared himself the chiefest of sinners. It was Paul that cried out, Book of Romans, oh wretched man that I am. And how big and good God is. Man. Go to Ephesians. Closing. Book of Ephesians. Chapter 2. You read chapter 1, and I've preached this spring, and we find out that when we're in Christ, we're put in heavenly places with him. And verse 3 and verse 4, we're chosen of him. And verse 5, we're adopted by him. And verse 6, we're accepted in the beloved. We have forgiveness of sins. Verse 7, because of him. And I read that and I put my name in there and I know my life and how I even failed God yet today. Man, 37 years in the ministry and I still let God down and my flesh is still my flesh and I still struggle with it. And that's why I got to get in the Word of God. I can't afford to coast. You start coasting, man, the devil is what's going to happen. Can't afford to coast. And I look and I think God wants me. Figure that out. Sinner. And God wants me. Look at chapter 2. You hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Here's a little, just a little freebie. That word course, it means age. It means walk according to the culture-driven age that we live in. He's saying, you that are following Christ, you that are born again and following Christ, you're now alive. You once were dead. You're now alive, man. You used to walk according to that culture-driven lifestyle, but you don't do that anymore because you belong to God. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, over the top in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. I like how it's in parentheses here, by grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're positioned in Christ. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Real salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's why he saved us. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That is real salvation. Verse 12, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens, we didn't belong, we weren't citizens of heaven, from the commonwealth of Israel, we weren't Jews, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, that's us, before we get Jesus. Do you remember what it was like to be lost? Do you remember pillowing your head at night, not knowing if you died during the night, you'd go to God's heaven? Do you remember how you walked around in a fog and everybody had a different religious message and nothing made quite made sense, nothing really added up, but you kind of openly listened to everything anybody had to say and there was still no hope and you were still lost and you didn't know the God of heaven? And in one day you were gloriously saved. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom all the building fitly framed together, that means masterfully designed and put together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's the church of Jesus Christ. God loves saving sinners. No doubt in my mind why God is blessing Fundamental Baptist Church. I know the reason for the blessings of God are not because of Superman in leadership. I know that's not the case. What you have in leadership are sinners saved by grace in love with Jesus. And there are some people that are serious about that. And they are actually the prayer warriors. And they're praying. And people that are reading their Bible and they're into it and they're doing their very best to stay in the scriptures and follow the word of God and be that kind of person that God can bless. And the result is the gospel is going forth and Rahabs are getting saved. People that are out there and they're hungry and looking for the truth, they're coming to Christ. Because God's people, in this case in Joshua's time, the Hebrew children are following and obeying God. And God is able to save the Rahabs of this world. Great-grandmother of King David, mentioned in the very first chapter of the New Testament, in the genealogy of Christ, a prostitute who was gloriously saved.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news.